How many of you, it's okay, but it's a little bit of a chore? My hand's up, okay. And many of you just weren't honest about anything there. But we like Christmas giving, and honestly, as a parent, I do enjoy shopping and now the gift wrapping. No, that's I never can get it right, so I don't get involved in that. But there is a lot of work. There's a lot of thought that goes into good gift purchasing and presentation for something special like Christmas or a birthday. And there's nothing like seeing all of those gifts around the Christmas tree, and it's a beautiful sight. It's an exciting sight, and you can just see the little kids are just, I mean, it's another day. You know, they're having to wait. They're looking at it. They're they are really into it. Well, can you imagine after all the hard work, parents, that you would go to when on Christmas morning or whenever you would exchange the gifts and you handed them out to your children, they said thank you and laid them aside, didn't even attempt to open them. That would bother you. The only thing that might be positive is you might think, well, I got the receipt still. I can take it back, save a little bit of money here. But no, it would actually very much hurt your feelings. There's no way around it. It would really bother you. Well, it's often been said, the gifts that God has given to us through the sacrifice of Christ are given to us wrapped with His love, and we never open them at times. How many believers go through their life living a natural life? Yes, saved and having moments in which God works, but not truly being used mightily of God in the gifting that God has for them. That's a very sad thing. I can't imagine what the Lord thinks when that happens. You see, God has given us a gift, gifts. Each one of us, God has enabled us in supernatural ways to accomplish His work. We're a mighty army as a local church, and He equips us to be able to face the enemy. He gives us different ways to encourage one another, and so that we can be strong to face the foe and to accomplish His will in this day and age in which we live. It's a very important thing. Let me just remind you about spiritual gifts, and that is that spiritual gifts are not talents, they're not natural abilities. God gave you those, and He wants you to use those, but spiritual gifts are a manifestation of the work of the Spirit that in most cases is in areas of our own weakness, so that He receives the glory and that we know it's of God. And that's why we must not limit what God wants to do in our lives based upon our human strengths. I tell you, when a Christian gets a hold of this, it's an amazing thing. I remember when I got a hold of that as a teenager, God can enable me. I certainly don't think I had the natural abilities to do what God had called me to do, but that is good, because then when it does happen, you know that it is God. And God knows what He's doing. Spiritual gifts are divine enablements for ministry. Now, they're characteristics of the Lord Jesus Christ to be manifested through each of us individually in the body corporate, so that His very person can be seen in all of its multifaceted ways. Listen, when an entire church is allowing the spiritual gifts to be manifested, we see Jesus. There's a thrill when Jesus is seen, and that ought to challenge us. And so we're going to be looking again at chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. The Apostle Paul is dealing with different problems that the church was facing. And one was a misunderstanding about this matter of spiritual gifts, because primarily they had a misunderstanding about genuine spirituality. Now, it seems like ancient time that we went over this some weeks back. If you look at verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, I like to look at it as spiritual reality, brethren. I would not have you to be ignorant. And of course, it's speaking in this context of the manifestation of the gifts. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. You see, what had happened was in the carnal state of those Corinthians that were falling back into some of the sins, they were misinterpreting the gifts as being something similar to the mystery manifestations of idol worship and some of the ecstatic experiences that they would have. Folks, Satan's very real. When people worship idols, it's not just them being foolish to do so. Yes, they're very foolish, but there's a spiritual reality that goes on. Unique things happen. It's not divine, but it's supernatural. And so they had a wrong concept of spiritual gifts because they were not spiritual people. They were carnal, as chapter 3 talks about. Verse 3, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. He said, I can tell you right now that what you have seen that people are calling spiritual gifts such as tongues, you have people actually cursing the Lord in the midst of that worship. It is obviously not of God. It must have been that's a very amazing statement. By the way, did you know demons can't help themselves but encourage people to say things against the Lord? And so I don't know all that was going on, but I'm telling you, there were things being said in the name of tongues and other ecstatic experiences that were anything but biblical or right. And so he comes on hard. I'm going to just say it now. We're not dealing with it today. But the whole movement that tries to say that spirituality and the coming of the Spirit equals ecstatic gifts, he is not defending that. He is dealing with that concept throughout these three chapters, and we'll see that in subsequent messages. But let's go on, verse 4. Now, there are diversities of gifts. There are different gifts, but the same Spirit. And we'll notice that is emphasized here. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. I'm not going to re-preach that section, but the whole purpose of spiritual gifting is for service. It's not for self-edification. It is not for drawing attention to ourselves or having any kind of religious experience that satisfies us. It is for God to do His work in the body. And we looked at the different aspects of it. And the one thing that always marks, and we'll see it later on in this message, that marks the Spirit of God working is that there is a unity that comes spiritually. Same Lord, and the same God. And it's the Spirit that causes it to happen. And He's the one that will give to every man, by the way, to profit with all. All right, very quick reading of that. But let's look now at the several verses that we're going to speak on tonight. Verse 8, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. You notice that same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Leon Morris states in his commentary, what has been put shortly in verses 4 to 6, we looked at that, is now expanded. And some of the gifts the Spirit gives are listed, together with a repetition of the truth that it is the one Spirit who provides them all. There are other lists of gifts, verse 28, Romans 12, 6 to 8, Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. But the lists are different. The only gift in all four is prophecy. Isn't that interesting? Clearly, the Spirit gives many gifts, and there is no one definitive list. Let me say this now, lest I don't say it. God empowers us miraculously as individual believers who are spirit-filled to do what the body needs. And there are different gifts, several gifts that God can enable different believers. And that we've got to be very careful to systemize spiritual gifting. There's a reason why, except for prophecy, that there are different gifts listed in the four different lists. And again, we're going to say more about that as we go along. But the one thing I want you to see when I emphasize same Spirit, one Lord, all of that, is if we are not spiritual, and spiritual isn't a good Christian, quote unquote. Spiritual is a spirit-filled Christian versus a flesh-dependent Christian. Every Christian seated in these seats right now is one or the other. Right now, either the Spirit of God has full control of you, or you are dependent upon yourself and looking to your own strength to do the Christian life. And that's where the Corinthian church had gotten into trouble. They were carnal. They were fleshly. They were flesh dependent. There were divisions. There were problems. They had gone back to the world. Sexual sin had come in. They were going to law with one another. They were dissatisfied with the position in life that God had given them. They were being a stumbling block to other believers and hindering the cause of Christ. And all of that was because they weren't walking carefully day by day in full yieldedness and dependence upon the Spirit of God. And that's why this whole matter of spiritual gifts got out of order, got skewed, because they were looking at it from a fleshly perspective, wanting the prominence of the apostolic emphasis there and other gifts that had been seen, and they were equating it with their pagan past religious experience. And so it's very important for us to understand that the key to spiritual gifts is not taking a test, but walking in the Spirit, okay? And I know some of those tests may be helpful, but just let me say, you just walk in the Spirit and do what God tells you to do, and God's going to start doing things through you. And that's the whole point. Now, just a couple of points here. Number one, the representative spiritual gifts that are mentioned in this passage. And so these are gifts, as all gifts are, to believers. Remember, spiritual gifts are given to the body of Christ to edify one another so that we can fulfill the Great Commission with power and effectiveness. Think about it. When you get together with good Christians and they're an encouragement to you and the Word of God's being taught in a Bible study or encouraged by fellowship or counsel, you leave being with the body of Christ stronger to face what you're going to face outside of the church, right? That's the whole point. People are an encouragement. I get greatly encouraged. I do a lot of the preaching, but I am deeply encouraged by your giftings and your heart for God, and it is such an important part. And so as you look at this list, one of the things here that is difficult about this list is that the questions that come up are which ones are quote unquote permanent and which ones were temporary for the substantiation of the Word of God. And especially, as we'll see from chapter 14, as a sign to the nation of Israel for what God is doing. And let me just say first off here that God wants to do supernatural work through us. And there's some angle of God working, frankly, through every gift, all right? And so my point is to just look at what these gifts are, and we'll try to make some application, because this is a very unique set of gifts that are mentioned. All right, let's go back to verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. This has the idea of understanding truth, to be able to apply it, to be skillful in practical application of the truth of life situations. That's what an expositor of the Word of God should be. That's what a biblical counselor should be. That's what a pastor should be. And now, let me ask you, can everyone here claim wisdom? So the wrong takeaway is, well, I guess I don't, I'm dumb. I don't have the gift of wisdom. You know, that's the wrong perspective, okay? Everyone here, James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. It's a wonderful truth that we all can apply Scripture. We all can teach one another. We all can disciple. God will empower us to do that. But there is a unique gifting that God gives to those in different situations where it's needed, such as 2 Peter 3:15, an account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Now, we've benefited greatly, have we not, from the wisdom that God gave the Apostle Paul. Of course, we have revelation there in that regard. But the wisdom, I thank God for some folks that we know that are tremendous counselors, and for the application of some that preach and teach. And there is just a uniqueness that way that is a great blessing. However, we all can have wisdom. So our takeaway must not be, well, that's for somebody else. No, every person here ought to be able to apply the Word of God with great power and wisdom. It's important. I think sometimes if you really want to know if you've got the gift of wisdom, it reminds me of what somebody came to a preacher and said, I don't like to hear you preach because you always rub the fur the wrong way. And the preacher answered, just turn around, sister. Anyway, but when you start applying it and it gets a little dicey, you might be in an interesting position of God wanting you to to get truth across. But the point is, there is a special gifting of wisdom. But as we're going to see with all these spiritual gifts, God wants to enable all of us. So there has to be the right balance. But because the Bible says there is a unique gifting, then we need to understand that. Then there's the word of knowledge. The gift of knowledge, the word is the idea of speaking forth knowledge. It's the capability of grasping the meaning of God's revelation, which is the mystery to the natural mind. Now, how many here can by the Spirit of God be illumined to understand the revelation of God in the Word of God? Everybody. But don't you appreciate times when people just unfold the Word of God so clearly? And there is a deep desire to know. It's foundational for all Christian teaching and preaching. And it's a, you know, so again, a preacher needs a measure of that. And but I think, for instance, and I'll just be specific here, I appreciate, for instance, a Dr. Paul, who is very, he's just driven to have to know what the Word of God says. Aren't you thankful? I'm glad he's studying the Hebrew and not me, you know, that hard. And so there are those that God just in a very real way, I can name several, I'll stop right there, but that truly are a blessing to us because God gives them a unique desire, an ability, an understanding in which it makes it more understandable to us than even the illumination that we have. And those gifts are a precious gift to us as God's people. And so that's important. Then we have that of faith. And now that's a tricky one. Like Morris, a commentator that I often mention, has an excellent commentary on 1 Corinthians. He said, the difficulty here is that whereas faith is characteristic of all Christians, they may be spoken of simply as believers, Paul is limiting it to a certain group who have this special gift. Now, how many of us are to live by faith? What is the secret for grace? Faith. Should we all become strong in faith? Should we all be leaders in faith? Okay, but you know, God makes examples of some people in faith. Who would you think of as examples historically? George Mueller is one of the first ones. I think of Hudson Taylor, believing that God would get to every province in China. And believe me, he knew his weakness. And frankly, if there was somebody that was sensitive and maybe prone to unbelief, it was Hudson Taylor. And God had to really work. Ironside said, when God calls a person to do a certain work, he gives him the gift of faith. The same thing is true in connection with missionary work. When God raised up Hudson Taylor to start the China Inland Mission, he knew that he was not to ask for money, but to trust the Lord. Now, God doesn't ask that of all missionaries, but he asked Hudson Taylor to have a faith mission that was built that way to be an example of what God could do. I am convinced that my dear grandmother had the gift of faith. I mean, she believed God. It was just incredible. And the reason for that is that from her would come a number of preachers and preachers' wives that needed to be built up in believing God, that simple faith, God would do miracles. And you hear me give her as an illustration, but I would definitely say God strengthened her because she gave herself to prayer and fasting, and because of that, she was enabled to believe God and see things. I mean, even my dad would question her at times, but she would say, Wayne, you just wait. God's already promised it to me, and it happened every time. You know, do you think that helped me as a young kid, as a teenager? Absolutely. You could ask each one of us, did it help you a little bit there, Mrs. Gilmore? Yeah, I mean, I'm not exaggerating when I talk about it. There was a special gifting there. But, you know, we ought to all believe in miracles. We ought to all see answers to prayer. Do you see the tricky nature in this? And you say, well, let that person believe God and be the prayer warrior. Wrong, 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 wrong. We need everybody to be a prayer warrior. But, you know, thank God for, listen, if God stirs you to believe him and he starts leading you and you see answers to prayer, you need to keep going down that path, brother or sister, because God wants you to be an example of what he can do. And there are just saints of the Lord, and many times it's not people. Man, that country girl from Alabama, my grandmother, no one would ever thought she would have had that, but she was known literally across the country for her faith. And so that is very important. Then you have healings. Lots is written on this. You have, of course, tremendous healings from the apostles in the name of Jesus Christ. And then Philip, who was a deacon. Acts 8:5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and they were lame, and were healed, and there was great joy in that city. That was a key time when the gospel was going to Samaria. And so this was not an apostle. This was Philip, the deacon, there in the church in Jerusalem. Now, I do believe, and I will get into this more, but I do believe that in that day, in substantiating the Word of God, there was a gift of healing that clarified what God was doing in that day, and again, especially to the nation of Israel, that the local church and what God was doing in this church age was of God, and God is so gracious and good. There was this gift of healing. Now, let me ask you, is God done with healing? Folks, I think we need to see a lot more healing than we do. But we need to be very careful that somebody goes around and thinks they have the gift of healing. Okay. And I believe this is one of the sign gifts that God gave in this age to substantiate what is doing. But I want to be so careful here. Let's don't limit what God can do. God still heals today. We can pray and God can work. The issue is that we've had some people say, well, I've got the gift of healing and therefore follow me. And I don't know if you've seen it, you know, I always feel sorry for these people. They come up on the platform, you know, and this guy does all this all these different kinds of things that they'll say, and then zap, and they fall down, you know. And I always wonder what all has happened in that. Well, that's not what you find in the New Testament. Was Stephen going around zapping everybody? No, people were getting healed because the gospel was going out. Do you know missionaries today, still in a move of God, on a frontline mission, God does gracious things to help substantiate the message that's going forth. But nobody's going to be presumptuous thinking they have a gift of healing. They pray about that. They depend upon God. And God will do what is best in that situation. But let's don't limit a supernatural God. God never said he stopped healing. Can you show me a verse where he said he stopped healing? No. In fact, we have epistles that deal with God answering prayer in that regard. God still saves the sick, by the way. But it's not a guarantee that everybody's going to be healed. God has the thorn in the flesh. God didn't even answer Paul's prayer because God did something greater in him with the thorn in the flesh. So I believe that was one of the great sign gifts that clearly substantiated to that early church that God was on the move, but God still substantiates today. We're not apostles in that sense, the ones that gave us the word of God, but it says here that there are gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Then here's another sticky one. To another, the working of miracles. Now, every one of us know that God does miracles. And if you look down at verse 12, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members... No, that's not where I wanted to go. Second Corinthians 12:12. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. So the signs of an apostle were, as I mentioned about healings, these miracles, these signs and wonders. Now, we see God answer prayer, and he touches somebody's heart. Just like with George Mueller. There was prayer, and people were touched to bring food at just the right time or give money for those orphanages, or other miracles happened. You can read of many of the men and women of God throughout the ages, and they prayed, and God touched hearts. God worked. God changed the minds of men. And God did that kind of work. But a true miracle is a supernatural intrusion into the natural world and its natural laws, explainable only by divine intervention. And God, that is a true miracle. And God is overruling what naturally would happen. And folks, God did that in a very special way, as I mentioned from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, that there were signs that the apostles had. But again, let's be very careful. God is able to do anything. He is able to do anything. Now, he can touch people's heart to give money. He can rearrange things. He can do all kinds of things. But for us to say that God cannot do miracles, it again doesn't say that he can't. I know that God can. I remember when the church there in Chicago claimed my son, who would still have cancer in his brain, because you can't get it all out. And then when the doctor saw it was all gone. That was a direct intervention of an almighty God. And so I want to be very careful in talking about this. We got to be careful about these giftings. I have the gift of miracles. Did you all know that? I mean, you just look at me and I'll do a miracle for you, especially if you give me a little extra, okay? That was the apostolic gift. But friends, for the sake of the gospel, do you think God still does miracles? And so in this secular age, how careful we need to be. Ironside said, God gives to certain servants the ability to work miracles. A miracle is anything that is not accounted for by mere natural law. God has often wrought wonderful things not to be accounted for naturally. When in Africa there was a terrible drought and the natives had cried and cried to their false gods, but no relief had come, a missionary felt called upon to bring them all together and said, now I'm going to cry to the God of heaven to give rain. He stood before them and offered a prayer, and as he began to pray, there was a cloudless sky above him. But he had not finished praying before there was a terrific clap of thunder. The thunder and lightning continued, and in a half an hour, the rain was pouring down. That was a miracle. That was for the sake of the gospel. Brother Charlie Kittrell definitely knew how to pray and believe God. How many of you still remember Charlie Kittrell? My, what a blessed memory. A dear servant of the Lord, a soul winner, just a good old country preacher that happened to be in Indianapolis. And he won many people to Christ, but he saw miracles. Well, I love the story. I'm sure we have it recorded. We ought to play that sometime. But they were building their nice building, and there was a huge concrete slab that they were pouring. And all of a sudden, just like it comes across Indiana, there was a massive set of dark clouds coming fast. And there was no way that they were going to be able to pour, finish it, and it'd be cured enough not to be deeply hurt by a very major rainstorm. And so he stood right there by that concrete and said, Lord, you led us to put this concrete here, and I am believing that you can have rain all around us, but Lord, keep this concrete free of rain. And witnesses will tell you it rained all around that cement, but not on that cement. It poured, but it was dry on that cement. Well, that's a miracle. God just smiles. He loves to do that. That was for the work of Christ. You know, he wasn't trying to prove that he could do miracles. No, it was a necessity. How many times, Brother Bosler, have you prayed and God's changed the weather? Sometimes he lets it come because he's got work to do, but you would have answered a prayer after. We've seen that happen here. God split a winter storm, and just right here, God protected us. We've seen that happen. Our God can do miracles. And I am just so afraid in dealing with this, as we do have to understand there were sign gifts for the purpose that I have mentioned, and I will be covering that in chapter 14, that I do not undercut the ability of our God to work in a mighty way for his cause. All right, then there's prophecy. Looking at verse 10, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy. The prophet of God is simply one who speaks forth God's word, and prophecy is proclaiming that word. The gift of prophecy is spirit-given and spirit-empowered ability to proclaim the word of God effectively. Since we have the scripture completed, we don't need any foretelling. It is forth-telling the word of God. And so being in all four lists, the only one, folks, even though I'm a preacher, I've just got to say it, preaching is important. It really is important. And there is a gifting. And let me just say, young men, don't struggle against the call to preach. I don't know of anything more wonderful than to be able to preach the word of God. I mean, it's thrilling. It is a work of the Spirit. It has nothing to do with human ability, though God uses our abilities. It is a great privilege, and God gifts the ability to preach. Then discernment. I've got to go quickly through this. I had to take some time on some of those, and we'll go over it again. I want you to get the fine knife edge on all of this. Discernment there, you see, to another, discerning of spirits. Now, folks, is there a spiritual battle going on in our day? Oh, man. I tell you, Satan got an upper hand today, it seems, in the world. Yes, he does. And where is he attacking? I'm telling you, he is attacking more in the evangelical church than he is even in government. It is the falling away of quote-unquote Bible-believing churches is amazing. How there has been humanism coming into and even occultic worship into those churches that are supposedly Bible-believing churches. And so, as 1 John 4:1 says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And so one of the great protections of a church is the distinguishing of spirits, understanding that's not of God. That is definitely from the father of lies. Now, let me just say, I needed to go back. Can all of us pray for miracles? Can all of us pray for healing? Can all of us speak the word of God? Can every man here preach the word? Yeah, every man. Whether you're called to preach or not, you can preach the word. I've seen effective messages from men at a time when they needed to preach. Everybody can preach. I just want to make that clear. And when it comes to discernment, should every Christian have discernment? Should we all try the spirits? That's what 1 John says there. But thank God for some who have just a keen discernment and are a great protection and help. I can think of, in this church, those that have been a great help. I'm going to mention one since he's with the Lord, so he can't be proud about it now. He wouldn't have been. But we honored him the other night, Helmut Steckman. He had an unusual ability to see what was right and wrong. And what a protection that was for me as a pastor. Those of you fellow deacons, you remember some of those times we had a great idea and all of a sudden Helmut would look a little cross-eyed and say, and or we're talking about movements. I mean, I tell you, I couldn't have compromised if I wanted to here. You know, he and I, we had a good time with each other on some of those issues. But, you know, every one of us need to be thankful that God gifted a man that would not bend. He was a great help to Pastor Barba before Pastor Barba went into the evangelist ministry. And that's just, I give one man example, but God has used that, and certain people have keen discernment. By the way, sometimes people don't like those people because they see things and people don't like that they see them. Listen, if somebody has a sweet spirit, but they're discerning, thank God. You know, we need to take counsel more than we do at times. Now, there can be a dear brother or sister that might give you a warning. You might listen to it. It may not be of the Lord, but if they're godly people, you might listen to it. I listen to it. And I think it's very important that we thank God. But should everybody have discernment? Yes. And sometimes God just gives a gift to the church. And then we get to tongues, which is another one of the sign gifts, and the interpretation of tongues. And I will deal with that later. Okay, not that I'm trying to, not time, we have the Lord's Supper tonight. I get talking to the Chinese ministry. I wish I had the gift of tongues. It was languages, by the way. I told the Spanish ministry a few weeks ago, man, I wish right now I'd just have a special move of the Spirit and be able to speak Espanol. I remember I said that, Alonso, and it's so frustrating. And now I could have learned it. Now, do you think God, though, can help missionaries learn the Word of God and give unusual insight? Absolutely. Now, that's not tongues. That's God's enabling power. And God wants us to be able to understand. And I'm just amazed sometimes missionaries go and they're a little bit older and then they learn that language. And it's not that they just had super linguistic powers. God enabled them because he cares about those people. But the tongues were clearly for Israel, clearly for the establishment of the Word of God. And we will talk about that as we go along. See, all of these are for what? Edification of the body. These are good things. It's Christ speaking to us. It's Christ doing things for us. It's Christ meeting our needs. One believer with another, faith and praying and seeing God work and believing God to do miracles. And all of this is for the edification of the believer, never for the self-exaltation of somebody. And that was the problem of the Corinthian people. Well, let me just finish out with a very important verse 11. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now, friends, some people say that you've got to pray for the gift of tongues so that and that's when the Spirit comes upon you. Okay. Again, I'm not going to get into that right now. That's not what this says. The Spirit decides what gift you have. Okay. It's not demanded by us. And so he decides. They're given by the Spirit. He's the one that does it. It's not natural abilities. And there's not one particular gift that demonstrates that we have the Spirit. It's one Spirit, but he divides to every man severally as he will. And if we went to Romans chapter 12, we'd see other gifts. We see the leadership gifts in Ephesians 4 and so on, and a few other gifts in chapter 14. And so he's the one that determines which way he enables us to edify the church. And so let's don't get it all too categorized or we're going to get into trouble. Let me just finish with this. Let's don't waste the gifts. Folks, we need to see a lot. Do you realize how supernatural every one of those is that I just mentioned? When I say let's live supernatural lives, I mean that. But that means we've got to be spiritual. We've got to be walking in the Spirit. And by the way, thank God for every gift. Listen, when God just uses someone over here mightily, praise God, don't get jealous of what God did. Say, well, God's enabled me in this over here, but that's not quite so showy. If you think like that, you're now Corinthian if you do that. Man, the whole idea, as we saw in verses 4 to 6, was it's for serving one another. That's why he gives all of that to us. And so let's be excited about any way that, listen, if you allow God to use you the way he has designed to use you, you will be fulfilled and you'll be very joyful about it. I promise you. Some of the most joyful, powerful Christians are not known. In fact, there's a safety in that. Well, none of us like to hear the term cancer. It's a debilitating disease. And you know what it is? It's when cells that don't want to go with the program. They're deviant cells. They go have their own agenda. And it'd be fine if they just leave the body. But those cancer cells that are independent, they still want blood. They still want to eat. They still want oxygen. They multiply. They spread and metastasize. They want to siphon off the body and eventually can kill the body. It's just like the church today. People want the benefits of being in the body without the giving and serving. They want the sermons. They want the songs. They want the ministry. They want the toys. They want the food from the pantry. They want the counseling for their problem. They want all the things that the body is designed to give, but they don't want to be part of the body. They just want to hang out with it. That's cancer. And it can kill the church. You see, every one of us, it's not a matter of doing duty or serving just through energy. We're talking about God enabling us to do what he created us to do and what he saved us to do. And spiritual gifting is a thrilling, thrilling reality. So I need to finish with this, but I trust that you'll say, Lord, just use me. I got to walk in the Spirit and you will work through me, and just watch what God will do. Let's bow for prayer.